Welcome back. We're continuing on with our joint meetings with our citizen boards and commissions and councils. And we are here now with the Upper Marion Sanitary and Sewer Authority. I'm going to turn the floor over to them. Please introduce yourself, and then you can continue on with your presentation.
Good evening. Thank you for having me here, Diane Riley, to represent the Upper Marion Sanitary and Stormwater Authority. So I'd like to give you a short summary of some of the projects our authority has attended to throughout this past year, and then turn over the details to Mr. Jeff Hickman, Director of Public Works, who has helpfully produced a set of detailed slides to help illustrate completed and ongoing projects. So our full team of authority members, advisors, and the Upper Marion staff members are listed on our first slide. So let me begin with, for the last several years, our authority's attention has been laser focused on the weighty issue of where to put the sludge that our two wastewater plants, Mat Sunk and Trout Run, produce every day of every year. Pennsylvania landfills will be closed to us in the very near future. Since we're facing a deadline that cannot be ignored, we commissioned two studies, one by a local company, SOMAX, that offers a specific solution to the problem of biosolids and the reductions of those, and a research study by the engineering firm, Arrow, who looked at all five of the possible solutions available to us. We have attempted as an authority to plan visits to communities that have already put some of these various solutions into practice. That has proved to be more of a challenge than we anticipated. Not all systems are running smoothly, so we continue to search for plants to visit. Meanwhile, several of our members are expected to attend an open house at a plant in May that utilizes gasification, a process Mr. Hickman will explain about later. Mr. Hickman will also give you a rundown of the capital projects that we have addressed and financed this past year. This brings up one very critical issue, that of the Headworks project, which will address the ongoing clogging of our wastewater pipes with what are known as flushable wipes. And we've spent a lot of time this year talking about these. Although we addressed the issue all last year with many types of requests to the public to refrain from putting wipes into our sewer system, as you will see from several of our slides tonight, our treatment plants continue to be so fouled that it takes extra work by staff just to clear pipes so our systems don't stop working completely. This also necessitates the financing and purchasing of new equipment that will help keep our systems functioning efficiently. As to our stormwater projects, unhappily, we are still waiting for a written decision by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court that will help determine if we can go ahead and put our stormwater plans into operation. As we wait for that decision, our Public Works Department has been inundated with monthly sinkholes that opened up this past year and had to be dealt with immediately by staff, regardless of their other duties. Financially, and from a project's point of view, we fervently hope that we can get started this year on addressing these ongoing issues with flowing water, storm drainage issues, flooding projects, and sinkhole remediation. I'd like to thank Supervisor Carol Kenny, our liaison to the board, for actively working with authority and staff members, and for her willingness to trek to plant sites in other communities and to attend a lot of extra meetings with us. And now I'd like to turn this presentation over to Mr. Hickman, who will go into more detail about all of our projects this year.
Thank you, Mrs. Riley. And just noted here, by way of introduction, we do have a five-member authority. The chair is present tonight, but those that could not attend include Jim Ruddy, Ed Campbell, Lynn Fields, and Glenn Smith. I'll also note that we have an authority solicitor, Steve Hahn, authority engineer, Fred Ciottone, and then really the folks that make the magic happen are our chief of wastewater, Rob McKernan, and then his team of Dan, Janet, Matt, and Mark, who make sure that our system is operating 24/7. As Mrs. Riley noted, there are really two things that are top of mind for the authority right now. One is, how do we reduce the amount of sludge that we're generating? Because that is one of our largest expenses. And two, we have now seen EPA has a more stringent standard for forever chemicals in the drinking water supply. And whenever a drinking water standard is imposed, a wastewater standard is not far behind. So we engaged HTC, or SOMAX HTC, they are distinguished as being the first to introduce the HTC process to America. This has been used in Europe for several years, but the first system brought online in the States is just down the road in Phoenixville. It's called PXV Neo, and we had the privilege of conducting a site visit with them, getting to see the operation there, and we engaged SOMAX to see, hey, is it feasible to do it here in Upper Marion? So they did analysis of our biosolids, they looked at our treatment plants and the configuration of our process equipment, and what they noted is that, yes, in fact, it is possible to install it here. What is pictured is the Matsunk treatment plant. This is the storage facility and our existing press room, as well as lagoons, all of which could be incorporated, the press room turning into an HTC building, and then our lagoons would provide the space to manage not only our own biosolids, but we would have the ability to be a regional hub and accept sludge from other wastewater systems. That, in fact, if we went down that road, it could actually be a revenue stream for the authority. So we were pleased with the results of that study, but we were also aware that HTC is not the only solution. So we engaged Arrow to look at some of the other technologies available. These include anaerobic digestion, pyrolysis, gasification. Sludge drying is a category all its own. It's really just a matter of a large fan that is drying your sludge beyond what our current process does. That study cost $91,000. And what we found is that three of these processes, pyrolysis, gasification, and HTC, do have the ability to either reduce or eliminate PFAS altogether. All of these have the means of reducing the volume of sludge that we currently have to take to a landfill. All of these, to give a rough order of magnitude, would be anywhere from about $8 million to $22 million. All of them would have a positive return on investment over time, some quicker than others. I'll use the example, anaerobic digestion was one of the cheapest options available, but on its own, it does not remove PFAS. You would have to pair it with a gasification process as well, and then that drives up the capital costs. So we've looked at all of these right now, and the next step that the authority is taking, we are engaging other municipalities that have some of these systems installed. Our next site visit is planned for the Earth Care system in Bethel, PA. That will take place next month. We had approached EFRDA. They have a recently installed pyrolysis system, but they're still working the kinks out there. So we hope to learn more, and we are exploring these. We think in the next, you know, maybe third quarter, fourth quarter of this year, have a game plan for which process we want to pursue.
We're currently not drawing sludge to a Class B biosolid, right? Where there's no centrifuges, there's no...
Correct.
Okay, so yes. we just have sludge.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
I'm glad you're not looking at the anaerobic digester because there's other hazards that come with that.
That is also true, yes. There's additional permitting, air permits, for instance, with some of these as opposed to others, so...
And you also have to figure out where you're getting rid of the methane.
Yes.
While we're on that one, for the anaerobic one that you said that you would have to add additional systems to it to make it up to the level of the other ones. So the anaerobic, you said the basis, it was less? Did you say that?
For the capital system? Yeah, the initial capital cost is less. However, it does not remove PFAS, and that is a strong desire of the authority.
But the capital cost is less just for the... For the anaerobic digester itself, correct.
That's what I'm wondering.
Pipeline or how you're going to get rid of
it. So with the add-ons, is it still less or does it take it?
It now becomes comparable to some of the other systems.
Comparable. Okay, exactly. So then we're comparing more apples to apples then with the add-ons. That's what I wanted to know, that if it was exceeds greatly, then I think we should just eliminate that one.
Right, but anaerobic digestion is a... It's kind of what happens in a cow's stomach, right? So it's there's no
Which
real
stomach?
No real oxygen.
This is massive amounts of methane.
It creates a lot of methane, and one of the reasons why it's commercially available, you know, there's a number of companies out there that would like to put these things specifically on farms to process food and cow waste and that kind of stuff, but they all have to be piped to a receiving entity, which can then process that methane into natural gas or propane, I guess, mm-hmm. is more like it. But it comes with its own hazards, and it's really not even something we should be looking at.
Yes, I'm in agreement with that.
The whole study tried to help us
see
all the negatives and positives in one place.
Each of them.
Yeah. I am surprised, though, that the study did not look at processing Class A or Class B biosolids, because there are, I mean, the plant in Chicago, they sell that at Home Depot, mm-hmm. right? They're biosolids. It's what you put down. It's your manure that you put down on your so it's kind of interesting.
When you're talking about pyrolysis or gasification, the end product is known as biochar, and that is similar to what you're describing, Mr. Phillips. And however, when it comes to the HTC process, rather than biochar, it's hydrochar. It is a slightly different, it's still, both are a carbon-based material, but the water content is different from one to the other. In either case, those could be simply land applied, used as a soil amendment, and there are currently manufacturers that are trying to figure out, are there other applications for it?
Some of those other applications, I believe, are for combination for roads.
So, yes, additives for asphalt or concrete.
Yep.
We have heard of roofing manufacturers trying to see if it could be implemented into some of their roofing products. So, the issue is mostly one of scale. Yes, it can work, but they need more material than what one system could provide.
That wouldn't be feasible for us then to anticipate that revenue return for it.
It takes a longer return, yes.
But if we were also working with other townships, if they were bringing their sludge to us to process, we could make money on doing that, number one, and we would have more of that material to add to our own material that might be enough to sell to. I think there was a local company that was considering purchasing that material from the Phoenixville place because they wanted to see what they could use it for, roofing materials or such. So,
and Phoenixville alone cannot supply them enough. So they're not...
Yeah.
They're not going to invest in a machinery or any kind of processing. But if Upper Marion picked it up, plus Phoenixville, and anybody else in the greater southeastern area, it's possible these paving companies and roofing companies might start looking at that as the material that they could then use, and they would buy it from us.
Is the biochar or the hydrochar... Is one more favorable as far as transferring to building product, pretty comparable in industries?
What I have found is that if you are a pyrolysis guy, you say that biochar is better, or HTC,
gotcha.
Hydrochar is better.
Everybody wants
a little bit of
product.
A little bit of a bias.
I just thought of a question as we're talking about this. Mexico City now has this system, and what are they, do they produce, because it's so much larger, I think it's 23 million people or 32 million, 25 million people in Mexico City, a lot bigger than us. So are they producing any more of this side effect that they can actually use it?
They are certainly producing hydrochar. I do not know what they're doing with it.
Yeah.
One other benefit of
either of these. That'd be an interesting question to ask the company that built that plant.
Terra Nova,
yep.
Yeah. I was just going to mention that one of the virtues of biochar and hydrochar is that could be used as a feedstock for a system to power your plant. So it can become a circular kind of economy there.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
I like that approach.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Cost savings on a different level.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. If no more questions on that project, I will mention one that has been, it's one that we are undertaking every year, which is replacing bit by bit our clarifier drives. We have two that are being replaced at Trout Run, another two at Matsunk, and some ancillary equipment that is also being replaced. This is a $908 million job, roughly 83% complete. LB is getting close to 908,000.
1,000, yeah.
1,000. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not quite there yet.
We're big, not that big.
No, 908,000.
But LB Industries is the contractor, and we're nearing the finish line on this one. We expect to achieve substantial completion in June of this year. What is pictured here is what a clarifier looks like when it is completely drained. So the spindle that you see is what houses the drive for the clarifier. What you see at the bottom of the floor are what are known as rakes. What a clarifier does, the solids are kind of settling toward the bottom. Those rakes then push it through, and then the solids continue on through the rest of the system to be processed as sludge. Another project that has been phased for several years, and we're now also entering the home stretch, is the replacement of the sanitary sewer main in the Candlebrook neighborhood. Last year, we had continued on with the pipe lining project. This year, these segments shown in orange are some of the ones that are being a complete rip and replace, where we have to excavate mostly inside the road in order to remove the old and install new pipe. This is to the tune of 2,100 linear feet of pipe, and it's on Crossfield, Deep Hollow, Old Fort, Pheasant, Prince Frederick, Strawberry Lane, and then a private road, Tanglewood Lane. It's an $800,000 job recently awarded to Anrich, and we haven't even had a pre-construction meeting yet. What we've done with the previous phases, we try to schedule it during the summer break so we're not in conflict with the school bus routes in this area. So we anticipate something like June of this year through the summer months to complete all this work.
So Prince Frederick at the curve there just before Target between Town Center and Target,
yes.
That's going to be all ripped up.
Yes. Yep.
We are going to do a better job than Pico did in getting the word out to everybody that we're going to be on your street.
We will be sure to leverage our public information office.
And all the roads are public roads other than the Tanglewood Lane, which is a private road. All the other ones are township.
That's correct.
Okay.
Do we have an easement in that entangling?
We do for our pipe.
Okay. We'll usually have a private lane.
Yes.
They would like to have sewer services.
Well, they do have sewer services.
It essentially is more of a driveway to that complex.
Oh.
But yes. This brings us to something that Mrs. Riley noted earlier. So we have one of our most costly projects, a $3 million job, and I do mean million. This time. We're installing bar screen equipment at it's called the headworks of a treatment plant. And what that is, that's the front gate. It's where all the wastewater is coming in. What a bar screen does, it intercepts anything that doesn't belong in our system so it doesn't make it into the treatment plant. So what you see here pictured are two scenarios of what we are trying to prevent from entering our plant. The top picture is a sanitary sewer overflow caused by the accumulation of wipes in our pipe. That obstruction then caused a sanitary sewer overflow where it came out of the manhole. It's completely due to flushable wipes. The bottom picture is where one of our pumps was brought offline. My guys had to disassemble it, and when they did, they had to uncoil the wipes that had spun around and brought that pump down. So this is a serious problem. It is something that is afflicting sewer systems across the country, and I'll have a little bit more on that as my brief continues. But we're spending $3 million to try to solve this problem here.
I wish somehow that there was a township or a sewer plant or something somewhere that would sue these people who say that these are flushable wipes?
I was actually just going to say that. Why don't we start a class action suit against P&G?
There has been one, and they got $2 to $3 million.
Yeah, but you would think P&G at some point would change their design or formula
their
to actually make them flushable wipes.
Yes.
Well, make them flushable wipes or stop saying that they are flushable.
Stop advertising them as flushable until...
Some of them are compostable, but that can take 2 months.
Yes.
And they're not spending that time in the sewer. They're taking, a half a day, and so they don't decompose in that amount of time. And we need to get people to not put them in there.
You have to put it in the same trash bin that you put the diapers.
There
you don't throw the diapers in the toilet. You throw the diaper in the trash can. That's where the wipes need to go.
Exactly.
Whether there's also makeup wipes I've seen in the store that say flushable, disposable makeup wipes. I don't care what they're used for. No, it's not.
Companies.
But they're used for many things, not just for babies. It's also makeup and other cleaning reasons.
The environmental group said that they wanted to do webinars. I think this would be an ideal topic for a webinar that then Dawn could put onto the UMGA TV. I've seen the damage that this has done to actually in one of our fire stations, and it's
how
irreparable.
How so?
Because they were deemed as flushable, and they were flushing them down after using them.
In the fire station?
Yes.
Ah.
So, and this caused a significant amount of damage, about close to $100,000 of repairs that had to be made to the sewer system. But the point here is it's a behavioral problem, as much as it is an issue with labeling and so on. So whatever we can do to educate the general public and then take action against the public if they find that they're abusing their... the use of these. I'm sure we're gonna find these when the crews go out, they're gonna find them in certain properties. And then it becomes a lesson there as well. But I think that the webinar to start with would be a great idea to try and get this done.
I have an idea for a Facebook post. How about something like, the Upper Marion Municipal Utility Authority has to spend $3 million to install bar screen equipment, replace slide gates, and perform influent channel repairs at Matt Sunken Trout Run because people are throwing flushable wipes down the toilet. Please don't.
We ran that advertisement, the sign on our...
Well, we've been doing that all year.
We've been doing that, that's what we've been doing.
Right, but you're not going to change the big corporations until...
No. And people read, like, oh, must that be my wipes? It must be a different wipe. Mine says flushable,
mine says flushable,
so I should be okay.
I mean,
right.
We could band together with other municipalities in southeastern Philadelphia and do a class action shoot here in the Eastern District.
Let's talk.
Let's
do that.
I think, Jeff, while we're at PSATs, that's probably something you can filter out through from some of your colleagues that are going to be there that may have a similar issue.
Is there any presentation at PSATs this year on this issue? Anybody know?
I haven't seen anything on that. I think so.
But remember, a lot of second-class townships don't have sewage treatment plants.
Most of them just convey it somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them do,
So it'd have to be the bigger ones then.
Yeah.
But have we ever put something with our sewer bills as they go out, like an extra piece of paper?
Oh, that's an idea.
We had done that, I think, at Tredibran, a few years ago. I don't think it was like wipe related, but they put that in with the sewer bill because you're already looking at it.
Because our bills are going up.
Right.
Yeah, right.
This would be a nice little add-on.
Yeah.
And this is one reason why it's going up.
That's a very good idea, Amanda.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that suggestion.
We did plastic bags. Now we can do this.
So at any rate, the design is nearly finished, and we will be putting this out to bid next month, and it will take 1 year for us to get this completed.
And you think that's going to stop wipe spraying?
It will intercept a decent amount. What happens now is we have grinder pumps that chew them up, but they're able to recombine as they flow through, and they still cause an issue.
Breed.
Almost like Velcro.
So almost like when you're making linen paper.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fibers reconnect.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And you can see from the picture, this is requiring man hours to actually manually pull them apart and get them out. So we want to.
It's the dirtiest part of a dirty job.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
Send an extra thank you to the crew that.
Sure.
Wow.
Give them cookies.
Send them some wipes.
Maybe more than cookies.
Send them some wipes. So real quick, I do want to hit one or two other projects, or really this next one is a study. For the first time in ages, perhaps ever, we're going to conduct a sewer rate study. And that is where we want to try to analyze our revenue requirements and then size our financial plan to account for the operating and capital needs that our system has. We engaged the leading consultant in Pennsylvania, Keystone Alliance, who has done this for dozens of municipalities and authorities. It's a 20-week process. We're about 4 weeks in right now, and we anticipate getting the results of this study in July of this year.
Will this be broken out to the commercial sector and the residents?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah. So Dave Bush is the driving force behind Keystone Alliance. And he's a frequent speaker at PMMA. So this will also tell us where our rates are compared to other municipalities, which will be interesting to see.
Yes.
And you will see that PA American and Aqua are at the top highest expense list. So.
Yes.
I want to say something like 18 out of the top 30 are private entities.
Yes. And I'll just point one thing out before you were here, Jeff. When I was first on the sewer authority as supervisor, they were complaining about having to pay extra money because of the sewer at the Village of Valley Forge. That was a whole thing. Get into that. And when I started asking questions, when's the last time you raised rates? They had to go back and check, and it was like 8 or 10 or 12 years, where the sewer authority, our sewer authority,
tapping fee at that point.
The tapping fee and the sewer rates, the two different things. One went back about 8 or 10 years, and the other was 10 or 12 years, something like that. So I sat there and I said, well, prices have gone up in 8 years, in 10 years. There's inflation. Why have you not done this? So that's when we finally, I was responsible for our sewer rates going up back then. But they needed to. We were losing the money. We had several million dollars, which we had to forfeit because of other issues.
And this will help us.
So this going forward makes much more sense. It's not just a shot in the dark, like, let's pick a number. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We'll have data behind it.
Right.
The next study that I want to mention, and the last one for this evening, we're doing a study of the Abrams Drainage Basin. It largely mirrors Crow Creek. What you see in green and yellow on this map is the Abrams Basin, and Abrams Pump Station is both our largest pump station, and it is the one where we are able to divert flows from Trout Run to Matsunk and vice versa. It's also where we experience the highest variation right now in our flows, and we want to understand that better. So we have flow monitors that are installed at 13 different points, and we're going to monitor the wet and dry weather conditions to try to understand the source of these flows and then target projects to address that, whether it's INI or some other issue that's just not on our radar.
Could this possibly be from pipes that are broken?
Yes, okay. Potentially.
Well, and I'm a little surprised that we haven't been doing that all along, because temporary meters are, you can place them wherever you want them, but they'll show the spikes after the rain. Mm-hmm. It's a good industry standard way of looking at where you have your INI problems and then trying to fix those, and you'll see that your flows, if you do fix them, will go.
Yes.
So a major.
We anticipate just what we've been doing in Candlebrook is going to solve part of the problem, and we have used as a proxy the flow data that we have from our pump stations, but this is going to hone in on the problem.
So we could be processing water that's not even, it's not.
Yes.
Yes.
It's clean water.
It's seeping, yes, yeah, okay.
Do we have flow meter, temporary flow meters?
We will rent them from time to time, but we don't really keep, correct. And just the last two points that I want to raise, and they've both kind of been hinted at earlier. The authority enacted a stormwater fee a couple of years ago, but roughly 1 month later, a Commonwealth Court decision was handed down where we had to suspend. And just to, for the board's awareness and for the viewing public, what we're waiting on, the Supreme Court ended up hearing oral arguments in September of last year, but they've yet to render a decision on this. What the Commonwealth Court decision said is basically what, as the borough had structured their fee, it was operating more like a tax. And because Westchester University is a state entity, they would then be exempt from the tax. That is what has been appealed, and we are now awaiting that decision. And then the other item, as we spend a little time for the headworks, the one solution that is being pushed right now in Congress, it was introduced in both the House and the Senate, is the WIPES Act, the Wastewater Infrastructure Pollution Prevention and Environmental Safety Act. That has bipartisan support. It is in both the House and the Senate, and it would require wipe manufacturers to label their products as non-flushable. So we are hoping that that will move forward. It was first introduced in 2023, didn't go anywhere. We're hopeful this time it will be passed. So that's
the
first
the
small,
level.
That's at the federal level. That's the first small step. So pending any questions or comments, that's all we wanted to share this evening.
If I could just mention one thing about the Westchester case, they are saying that it is a tax. Westchester is claiming it's a tax, and that was the lower court decision. And what we are saying is that it is not a tax. It is a fee, and the difference for the public to know is that a tax, you can have tax-free places. You can tax-exempt organizations, the railroad, PennDOT, PICO,
schools
and churches, okay. But all of those entities have buildings, they have parking lots, they have places that contribute to flooding. So the difference is with a fee that there would be no one who is exempt because everyone contributes to stormwater. So that's, that to me, the big difference between a tax and a fee and who gets to pay it. If it's deemed a tax by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, then that means we cannot charge a fee to the tax-exempt entities, which means that if you and I own property and pay taxes on it, we're going to have to pay more money. We will have to pay some money, but not as much if it's deemed a fee, because it will be more spread out among more entities. So I just want to make that point.
We determine that rate, though, correct?
Yes.
So we determine that.
Yes,
so
we determine the rate.
Doesn't necessarily have to be increased,
but in
to
order,
average out, but.
But in order to get the same income,
yes,
then, we would be
yes,
spreading
yes,
it out among
yes,
fewer entities.
Yes. No, I understand that, but I'm just saying that
so
we're still the ones that set
we
that.
Set
so
the, we set the rate, yes.
Yes. Yes. And one more question, we're running over, so Vice Chair Genoway had.
Just okay, to comment, more than a question. About 3 weeks ago, Tina, myself, Amanda, and Tony were on a webinar with PSATs. It was raised at that point that there is new MS4 legislation and guidance that's going to be coming out, which is going to change the focus of the end result of the MS4 guidelines, meaning that it's going to take the focus away from the outfall and place it on infrastructure, guidance, technology, and things of that nature, basically reversing a lot of the work that we've already done. So it's one of the things that's on my list to follow up on at the PSATs conference, but just to put it on your radar, that it may change some of the things that we've been working on with stormwater. And this was in our, we have a quarterly meeting with municipalities over 15,000 population. That's where this came out. We heard it again at a Mercado meeting that we had about 10 days ago. So it's on the horizon. We don't know all the details yet, but just be forewarned, I guess, is the best thing at this point. And for the people out there, we're trying to make some of the challenges that we've had for stormwater go away, and we keep getting bigger challenges put in our place by the state.
Unfunded.
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 Yeah, unfunded.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're definitely way past our time now, but this is important topics to discuss, so, and we had a lot of questions. So thank you for your time and presentation and staying on top of all this for us, and we'll be interested to hear how, when you have your meeting coming up shortly, what the decision is, and then look forward to the final decision then the end of the year, Q3, Q4 is anticipation of a decision, hopefully. Okay, looking forward to that. And thank you very much for being here this evening. And
you're in the dike.
And we will recess for just a moment, and then we'll be back shortly.